I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas. I wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Mm-hmm. Have a baby too green. Too green to you. I love you even when you're sick. But I still love you.
I don't know that version. It seems really weird to be looking at this next passage in the middle of summer on a beautiful sunny day, but here we go. We're gonna take a look at it anyway. Just hope that like reading this passage like out of season will give us like a fresh insight into how Mary responded to her encounter with Gabriel. Okay, enjoy. Okay, so our passage for today is Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. A very well known passage. It's the angel promises the birth of Jesus to Mary. Okay, so I'll just read it, it's quite short. In the sixth month, God sent an angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings to you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. What did you think of that? It's funny to hear these passages out of Christmas time. It definitely feels a bit strange to be looking at it, but I thought we'd just take a look at how Mary acted in her encounter with God here. And just really, really kind of consider what it would have been like for Mary. Mary was a young girl, and here she has this experience of encountering Gabriel. That in itself is pretty astonishing and shocking and humbling, really. And I kind of thought that maybe it was like, you know, the way if the principal called you to the office in school and you would immediately be like, "Oh my goodness, what have I done wrong?" But here she gets a visit from Gabriel and telling her, "Do not be afraid." And then giving her this amazing message that you're highly favoured and the Lord is with you. And do not be afraid, you've found favour with God. So that in itself is an amazing message for Mary to hear that, and that would have, even to let that sink in on its own, would have been pretty astonishing and life-changing for her. But Gabriel doesn't stop there, does he? Nope. He says, "You're going to have a baby." I remember it kind of reminded me of when I found out I was pregnant. Just that miracle of 1 + 1 equaling a family of 3, you know. after years and years of marriage, I was really shocked when I found out that we finally were pregnant. And even though I was married for such a long time, this news was so incredibly shocking for me that I just remember just froze, and I would just be looking at it thinking, pregnant. And then my brain would just freeze and I'd be like, baby. And I would try my best to process that, and then it would just be like, pregnant. And then it would just be, baby. And I was like, it just the shock of hearing that was, it took a while to sink in. And I'm assuming this was more of a shock for Mary here to hear this news that, hey, Mary, you know, you're favoured by God. Shocking. And then she'd be like, well, you're going to have a baby. That would be like, I imagine she just had to, if she was not already on her knees whenever Gabriel was in front of her, that would have brought her to her knees. She'd be pretty shocked by that news. And then she goes on to ask, how? And Gabriel, I'm not sure if this would have really comforted her, but Gabriel explains to her that the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born and he will be called the Son of God. Right, okay, so how do you process that? And just as I was reading that, I was reading a few of the notes at the bottom, and it pointed out just how this is written by Luke. And remember, in his introduction to the Gospel of Luke, he says that he is going to investigate and, you know, prove eyewitnesses to this testimony of the facts. So this is Luke, who is a medical doctor, telling us that a baby was born to a virgin by the Holy Spirit. And isn't that just brilliant, really, that how God has this medical professional in Luke telling us that this is a fact, that he is reporting that the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she bore a son, even though she was a virgin. And that had just never really struck me before, that that God had used that detail of Luke being a doctor to report that. I just find that really interesting. So going back to where Mary's at with this, I was like, well, I would have had a very different reaction to Mary. My response to these extraordinary plans, because Gabriel went on, not only did he say you're going to have a baby, he said your baby will be a boy, you're going to call him Jesus, which means the Lord saves, he will be great, he will be called the Son of the Most High, he will be given the throne of David, he will reign over Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Like, that's a lot to process. All those facts. And Mary's response is absolutely inspiring and amazing, that she, her complete trust in God is expressed in her obedience. She didn't need to know the details. She didn't ask God. Well, she did ask, how can this be? Which is fair enough. But I honestly would have had a lot more questions than that. You know, in her circumstances, she needed to know, well, God, are you going to protect me from the disgrace of being pregnant while not married? Are you going to help me, my fiancé, to believe me? Is my father going to disown me? You know, who's going to look after me, God? They're going to think I'm crazy when I tell them this. So many questions. And Mary, her trust in God was enough that she said, you know, unlike Sarah, who laughed at her pregnancy announcement, and Zachariah, who doubted the birth of his son, Mary submitted to her place as the Lord's servant. And I think that is absolutely incredible. She responds, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May it be to me as you have said." And just looking at it from Mary's point of view, I just was struck at how she had already prepared her heart in the fact that she had already made her 100% commitment to God, that her life would be fully submitted to God's will and plan. And she had no idea that this was ahead of her, but she had already obviously made that 100% commitment to God. And to be honest, you know, that has really challenged me. Have I made that 100% commitment to 100% trust God, no matter what he's going to ask me? And I would love to say yes, I have, but I know I need to practice surrendering everything I have to God every day, and I need to make sure that I'm making room in my heart and giving it to Jesus and asking him just to take what I have, to surrender it up to him and offer it to him today, and to just trust him without demanding to know the details. Just trusting that God is good and that his plan is good and he will look after me because he loves me. So yeah, that is definitely what I am challenged by just looking at Mary and how she responded to this incredible news and this life-changing plan that God had for her, and her wonderful obedience and submission as being a servant to her Lord. And I am inspired to commit my life as much as Mary had committed hers. So yeah, just asked for God's help in this, obviously, and ask that he will help us today as we think about this and we think about just surrendering and committing ourselves fully to trusting God, and let him worry about the details, and just trust in obedience, and ask for his help in doing this today. Okay. Okay, so now we'll just move into that wee time of prayer, and we will just take time to just spend time talking to God. We'll use the PRAY, praise, requests, actions, and yearn. So let's begin. First one is praise. Just start off our prayer time just praising God for who he is, for how much he can be trusted, and let's just be thankful, just pour out a thankful heart to him now. So our next section then is our requests. Just use this next couple of minutes and just bring your requests before God. Just lay them down at his feet. Just give him the burden of worrying about them and just pass them on to him. Pass them on with the intention of trusting him with them. Just know that God is able. So bring your requests to God now. So our next section is action. Just trusting God that he has work for us to do today, and that just asking him what is it he wants us to do, who is it he wants us to think about today, how can we show God's love and compassion in our world to the people around us today. Just ask God for guidance in all these things. And then just the last minute is just yearn. What is our soul yearning for? Just listen in this last section, really, and listen to your heart. Listen to what God might be telling you or prompting you with, and just respond to it. Respond to it today with trust. But first of all, we have to listen. Just spend the last few minutes just listening. Okay, so we'll just end it with a prayer then. God, we just thank you. We thank you that your word can fill us with the faith that we need to trust you each day. God, I just pray that, Lord, that you will stir up our faith just by the reading and listening of your living word. Lord, I pray that your word will guide us to a lifestyle of trusting you. God, I pray that we will hope and that we will surrender up everything, that we may experience the joy of a living faith in response to your amazing acts of faithfulness, God. Just God, thank you. Bless us today in whatever we are faced with. And God, I pray that we will practice our trust in you and just be useful for your kingdom today. So God, just take us away in safety and pray, Lord, that we will love you today, God. Amen. Okay, that's it over then. There was loads of ums and ahs and anyway, but there was. Sorry about that. Hopefully it wasn't too bad to listen to, but there you go. Was what it was. Feel free to record your own version of this. I would love to hear it. yep. So if you're happy enough, we'll just continue working our way through Luke. So it will get even more Christmassy, I think, for a little while if we continue to do that, or we could flick on a bit if you think so. I'm gonna have to get Daniel to sing a lot more Christmas songs here, but he's a willing participant. So have a good day. Bye.